Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
A lot of fear in the air. What's the future hold? Many people are wondering. How are we going to make it? We are living in some challenging times. But what we have to remember is the Lord is building the house. If we've committed ourselves to Him, we are the children of God, and we have a Father in heaven who knows what we need.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series, Songs of the Saints. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Psalm 127, verses 1 through 2, in a message titled, Our Prosperity and Security Are in the Lord. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
As we come to this psalm, now remember, as most of the psalms that we looked at have been psalms of David, right? And then we had the one psalm, Psalm 90, that was a psalm of Moses. And now this psalm is, it's either a psalm of Solomon, in other words, Solomon is the author, or possibly it is a psalm for Solomon. You know, there's the heading in the Hebrew manuscripts, and some read of and some read for. So if it was written, let's say, for Solomon, then it was perhaps a word of encouragement from his father David, reminding him of the reality that God was with him and would keep his promise to prosper, secure, and bless him. And so we could see that being the case. I mean, Solomon was, after all, the one who built the Lord's house, right? He was the one who was given the commission by God himself to build the house. So unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. So maybe it was David writing again to encourage him. If, on the other hand, it was written by Solomon, then it is the same message based on his own life experience of God's faithfulness to his people. Either way, the message for us is the same. Whether David wrote it to Solomon or Solomon wrote it to this audience and every other audience that has ever considered the passage, the message is essentially that true prosperity, security, and personal blessing do not come from working and worrying oneself to death, but by following and trusting in the Lord. So that's what we want to consider. So unless the Lord build the house. Now, as I said, this could have been a reference to the temple. The temple was oftentimes called the house of the Lord, but the Hebrew word is broad in the sense that it would include a home as well. So it doesn't have to be the temple. It could just simply be unless the Lord build the home or unless the Lord build your home. We, all of us, I would imagine, we want the Lord to build the house. I want the Lord to build my home. I want the Lord to build the home of my children. I want the Lord to build this home, our home as the church. And so I want to think for a moment just about building our homes on the Lord, building our personal homes and lives on the Lord. And there are just three components that are essential to having a house that's built by the Lord. Three components, simple things, things we know, but things that it's always good to be reminded of. Number one, the Word of God. The Word of God. Our lives, our homes are to be built upon the Word of God. And of course, that means that we are meditating on God's Word. We are allowing it to impact our lives. We are communicating it to our families, to our children. We are longing to see that word capture their hearts. And as I think about this, I think of having in our homes, it's just a place where the word naturally flows from us. It's not this regimented kind of a thing where we force people to, you know, sit down and have your Bible reading time. And if you don't, I'm going to put you on restriction, or I'm going to, you know, punish you in some way, or something like that. Well-meaning parents, I think probably myself included, we have done stuff like that over the years. And this is counterproductive. This doesn't really help. You know, if a child is forced to read their Bible and, you know, sort of made to read it as, you know, some kind of a severe type of a disciplinary thing, this is going to create in them a resentment toward God's word. So we don't want to do that. No, we want the word of God to just fill our lives, fill our homes in such a way that it's enjoyable, that it's natural. It's just there. It's just part of the conversation. It's just there. It's just part of life. And the word of God, of course, we're talking about the Bible, right? But, you know, we're also talking about things that are connected to the Bible, stories, and could be books, could be novels, could be, even these days, could be films, could be just things that bring our attention to the word of God. Just having a home where God's word has a dominant place. Secondly, prayer. Prayer, and I'm going to put praise together with it, that our homes would be houses of prayer. That we would just, prayer would be second nature. We would just, whenever something arises, we would just go to prayer. Or whenever we think of some good thing that God has done, we just immediately go to praise, to just giving him thanks, to glorifying him. Where, again, it's not all about some formality. It's not about this, now say your prayers, kind of a duty type of an approach. But it's just this thing where we know naturally, we know intuitively that we just go to the Lord. It's this relational thing where we feel that we have the complete freedom and total access. We're gonna just come right to the Lord right now. And what I'm saying is when we have a house that's just filled with the word in a very natural sense, and when our lives are marked by prayer in a very natural sense, this is the way that the Lord builds the house. And then the third thing, and like I said, you can include praise in with the prayer, but the third thing is grace. You know, the house the Lord builds is a house that's filled with the grace of God. And this is one of the things that I learned later in life, honestly. And I look back on my parenting, on my years, you know, of raising our children when they were in the home. And, we had a wonderful experience as a family and all of that. And we have a wonderful, tight relationship in our family today. But I look back and I think of how I so often lacked grace as the father, as the parent, and sometimes even as the husband. But you know, that lack of grace that just was not a good, healthy representation of who Jesus is or what he's like. And again, grace is that sense that love is the dominant thing and forgiveness is always there, and we're not going to dwell on the failures and things. We're just going to move on in the grace of God. And when you build your house on these three simple things, you're not laboring in vain, because the Lord is building your house, because that's what he's about. He's the God of grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, that takes us to the second issue here. And the second issue is one of security. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Now, here we're talking about security. And security, we can think of that in all different kinds of areas, right? We can think of the issue of financial security, which I think is hinted at here by the next verse that we'll get to in a moment. But then there's, you might think of national security. I mean, we all want to be secure, right? We want to be protected. We want to know that we're safe. And then there's the personal security. And here, the context, obviously, is talking about a city that is secure, that's safe from attack, from enemies. And so we're reminded, unless the Lord guard the city, the watchman wakes in vain. So the Lord is the one who needs to guard the city. The Lord is the one who will guard the city. The Lord is the one that we want to trust to guard the city. And so the Lord is the one. He's our protection, our security, our prosperity. These things come from him. And then the next part of the verse says this: it is vain to rise up early, to sit or stay up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Now, this second part of verse 2 is a little bit, evidently in the Hebrew, it's a little bit hard to really translate. And if you have, say, an NIV, or if you have an NASB, if you have a different version other than the New King James, this passage is going to read a little bit differently just because of the difficulty of the Hebrew language here. But I personally, out of all of the different renderings, I like this one the best. And I think that this is really getting at what is being said here because it fits the context. What is he saying here? Well, I think he's talking about the way of the world, or the way of the person who doesn't trust God for their prosperity and their security. So to rise up early and to stay up late, I think he's talking about the person who overworks themselves. Now, the Bible, of course, encourages us to work hard, but within reason. And the Bible would not support us working ourselves to death in order to keep up with the Joneses or whoever your neighbor might be that you really wish you had that car, or you really wish your house was like that, or you really wish you could go on a vacation like they went on, or whatever. And so many people do this. They are working themselves to death because they've got to live up to some kind of an image that they think is going to make them acceptable, or they're going to feel better about themselves, whatever the case might be. He says here, the writer says that it's vain to do this. It's vain to do this. So it's the idea of overwork. Secondly, he speaks of eating the bread of sorrows. Now, eating the bread of sorrows, the idea is feeding yourself on these things. I think the picture here is really, it's describing anxiety. Anxiety is like eating the bread of sorrows. Anxiety is being, it's when you're overwhelmed by fear and worry. And so the picture is, it is vain to work and worry yourself to death. And people are doing it all the time. People are working themselves to death all the time, trying to get ahead, trying to attain that position. Well, and then they literally work themselves to death. And some people are worrying themselves to death. And what does it say here? It says it is vain to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, to always be filled with anxiety about, it's like this is your food. Your food is everything you're worried about. The reminder, He gives his beloved sleep. You see, the call of the psalm is to entrust everything to the Lord. Entrust your house, your home, your family, your future, all of those things. Entrust them to the Lord. Entrust your finances. Entrust your security. All of that. That's the call. Entrust all of that to the Lord and then take a nap. Get some rest. I mean, seriously, how many people stay up all night worrying about things they really don't have any power over? And it's not like I've never done this before. I certainly have done this at times. We all do it at times. But this psalm is reminding us of the futility of it. You see, that's the word vanity means. It's a waste of time is what it means. It's futile to do it. It doesn't help. It doesn't change anything. And remember, Jesus gave us a lesson like this himself. He said, why do you worry about your life? Why do you worry about what you're going to eat? Why do you worry about what you're going to wear? Why do you worry about the roof over your head? He said, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Now, and then Jesus even said, now the unbelievers, those that don't have a heavenly Father, they worry about these things. That's understandable. But the point that Jesus was making is it doesn't make any sense for us to worry about it, because our Father knows what we need before we ask him. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. That's God's promise to us. All these things will be provided for us. Now, let's bring it right down to the moment. There's a lot of fear in the air right now. A lot of fear in the air. What's the future hold? Many people are wondering. How are we going to make it? What if I lose my job? Or maybe I lost my job. What if we lose our home? And these are fears. And they're not unfounded entirely. I mean, these are realities. We are living in some challenging times. But what we have to remember is the Lord is building the house. If we've committed ourselves to him, if we've dedicated our lives to being the servants of God, we are the children of God, and we have a Father in heaven who knows what we need. And so we can and we ought to. It's wrong not to trust him. A lot of fear in the air. There's a lot of anxiety. You know, there's a lot of anxiety. I mean, we have to stop and ask ourselves, wait, where was our trust in the first place? I mean, did we subtly, and maybe not even intentionally, but did we put a human being in the place of God somehow? Did we maybe engage in some form of idolatry? Of course, the church belongs to Jesus Christ. He's God. We're his people. The earth is his and everything in it. And he rules over the nations. And he sets up kings and he takes them down. And he does all of this to fulfill his ultimate purpose of establishing his kingdom. Cheryl was telling me this morning when I was saying, come on, get ready. We got to go. I'm reading my Bible. She was reading Daniel 7. She said, Daniel 7, you know, it's like a vacation spot, your favorite vacation spot. You're just there at Daniel 7. I don't want to leave it. It's like being at a restaurant and eating all the, you know, my favorite meal. Don't try to pull me away from this. You know what Daniel 7's about? Go home and read it. It's great. It will remind you of everything I'm talking about. It's about the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven and all of the people of the world. He's given dominion over them, and he will reign forever. That's what it's about, and that's what our hope is in. So right now, everyone needs to take a deep breath. Our hope is in the Lord. And so let's not sit up late worrying and fretting about the future. Remember, he gives his beloved sleep. And so, Lord, I'm casting this care upon you. Now, final thought. If, going back to where I started with the author of the psalm. And let's just say that Solomon did write this. If Solomon wrote this psalm, perhaps he wrote it from his own experience. Remember, Solomon had a season away from the Lord. Remember that? Solomon actually tried to do life without God for a while. As ironic as it seems, he did. And could it be that having tried to do that, this is what he concluded? It's vain unless the Lord builds a house. It's vain unless the Lord keeps a city. It's vain to work and worry yourself to death. It could be that Solomon did write this because in Ecclesiastes, Solomon uses this terminology over and over again. He says, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's all pointless. It's all futile. And that's the truth. Living life without God is pointless. It's futile. It's vain. And maybe, just maybe, someone here has been trying to build your house or secure your future or whatever the case might be. Maybe you've been trying to do this without the Lord. And just take it from Solomon. It's vain. And remember, Solomon was the wealthiest person to ever live. He was the wisest man, except for when he walked away from the Lord. But he had all of this wisdom. And, you know, as he went out and tried to find fulfillment and all of that, he talks about going everywhere, everything under the sun. You know, he decided he wanted to be the smartest guy, so he became the smartest guy. He decided he wanted to be the richest guy, so he became the richest guy. He decided he wanted to be the most famous, so he became the most famous. You know, he had the ability to do all these things. But then at the end of it all, he says, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. And then his conclusion is this. This is it. This is the sum total of the matter. Fear God and keep his word. That's the sum total of the matter. Because he went on to say, because there's coming a day when God's going to call everyone to account for their lives. And so if somehow you've drifted and you're in that place where you're working and worrying yourself to death, you're not trusting the Lord, your priorities are completely out of whack, it's time to turn back to the Lord. Let him build your house. He knows how to build a house. Let him give you that security. He knows how to secure you. He knows how to take care of you.
For the month of July, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Delighting in the Trinity, An Introduction to the Christian Faith by Michael Reeves. God has revealed himself in the Bible as triune. There's only one true God who exists eternally as three persons, as Father, Son, and Spirit. Although many metaphors have been proposed for describing the Trinity, none can truly capture the essence of the Trinity. The Trinity is a mystery, but a mystery that can be understood because God has revealed himself in the pages of Scripture. An understanding of the Trinity is an important part of the Christian faith. It is one of the aspects of the Christian faith that sets it apart from every other religion and belief system. An understanding of the Trinity will help you to understand creation, salvation, and what true love really is. In his book, Delighting in the Trinity, An Introduction to the Christian Faith, Michael Reeves will help you understand the Trinity to help you enjoy and delight in the God who loves you. After reading this book, you'll have a clearer understanding of the Trinity and how the Trinity impacts your life. This book will help you to know God in a deeper way, in a way that he himself revealed himself in Scripture. So if you want to go deeper in your faith and learn more about God's self-revelation as Father, Son, and Spirit, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. To order Delighting in the Trinity, An Introduction to the Christian Faith by Michael Reeves. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together the Songs of the Saints. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.